We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
If you haven't heard, the Sabres beat the Sharks last night at the KeyBank Center 4-3 in overtime. Eichel tallied two goals, two assists, including the OT winner. Sam Reinhart and Jeff Skinner scored. Rasmus Ristolainen, two assists. Carter Hutton, 25 saves for the Sabres. Erik Karlsson and Dylan Gambrell. Mark-Edward Vlasic scored for the Sharks. Martin Jones, he also made 25 saves. Sabres are at the Rangers tomorrow night for a 7 p.m. faceoff. And the Rangers fell to the Coyotes in overtime last night in Arizona's fourth consecutive victory. Christian Dvorak scored in overtime for the win. Alex Goligoski, goal and an assist. Lawson Crouse scored. Darcy Kemper, 17 saves. Alexander Georgiev, 32 saves. Tony DeAngelo scored two goals for the Rangers. And Kaapo Kakko had his first NHL assist and power play point on DeAngelo's second goal. The Buffalo Bills cornerback Tre'Davious White was announced as the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for the first time in his career. He had previously been named AFC Defensive Rookie of the Month in September 2017. Tune into One Bills Live from noon to 3 with John Murphy and Steve Tasker for more on that and a live practice update with Bills insider Chris Brown, ESPN's Field Yates on Week 8 Fantasy, and Bills defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. Old Man River will be turned into Field Yates for his fantasy updates. The Lions are trading safety Quandre Diggs and a 2021 seventh-round pick to the Seahawks in exchange for a 2020 fifth-round pick. Over his four-plus seasons in Detroit, Diggs started 40 of 65 games played, recorded three picks, and at least eight passes defended in each of the last two seasons. 49ers are sending their third-round pick to the Broncos in exchange for wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. And game one of the World Series took place last night in Houston, where the Nationals beat the Astros 5-4. Welcome back to the Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. Dan, I was standing in Tim Hortons in Canada, figure that, and I heard a gentleman behind me talking about the World Series. And he said to his friend all the way across the restaurant, he yelled, it was the morning after the Astros beat the Yankees. And he said, put all your money on the Nationals. Everything you have, put it on the Nationals. I turned around to him. I said, if I were a gambler, I would probably put all my money on the Nationals. And he said, I highly recommend it. They're going to win. No questions asked. They're up 1-0. You follow baseball?
I certainly have in the playoffs. And I said the same thing to my wife. She said, I think Houston's going to win this thing. She's a Yankees fan, and she now hates Houston. And I said, I don't know. The Nationals kind of have this, not only are they a good team, they kind of have this team of destiny feel to them, which would not be nice to have around here.
Well, you say that. Well, there's a little destiny going on, Dan. 8-1 and 8-1 and 8-1 and 1 right now.
Yeah, it's... I'd call her Destiny. She's looking good.
Yeah, you got a chance to call that Mittelstadt play. Dan Dunleavy joining us on the line here, getting ready to head to the New York Rangers Madison Square Garden for 7 o'clock tilt tomorrow night. How nice is it to be calling these games?
It's great to call every game, but for the energy that you're talking about that's now in the building, and, you know, even when the team got down 2-0, I just had this sense, and it's none of my business to have the sense, but I had a feeling, and I turned to everybody else in the booth, and I said, these guys aren't done. And maybe last year or the past few years they'd be done, but even down 2-0, I thought the way, again, that they were playing in that first period and the way that they went down 2-0, I thought, you know what, they kind of gift-wrapped a couple here. San Jose's a really good team, and if you start giving them chances, they're going to bury a couple. But, you know, at the end of the day, That was all they gave up. And they turned the game around in the second period. And it was just something that we've come to expect from this particular group right now. And, you know, how long it continues, it has certainly the feeling of sustainability just based on how they did it. So it's not like they pulled all of a sudden something out of their hat that we haven't seen all year. They just went back to work in the second period. And I think that's what makes it fun, is that you expect that these guys aren't out of it. And, you know, last year, you know, the whole cardiac kids, and they kind of, you know, like pull a rabbit out of the hat. Now it's just a group of guys that you look down at the bench and there's no panic, and they seem certain they're going to be in every game. You talk to these guys all the time, whether you're at home or on the road, and they just have this sense when they walk out to the rink in that tunnel. You can see it when we come back from break on our show. They just have this look about them that, we're not worried. Yeah, we shouldn't be down 2-0, but we're still in this game. And that's the fun part about calling him right now.
Yeah, Gergensen said that. He in an article, in Greg Wyshynski's article, he said exactly that, Dan. He basically said, we don't feel like we're going to lose. You know, we believe we're going to win. So what's the biggest difference that you've noticed between this year and years past?
I think, you know, I said this the other day on the show, and I didn't know if it came across on the broadcast, but you know how we talk about, and Ralph doesn't want any real strength or attention given to numbering lines, but just really, you know, focusing on the team as a group. And I think for this particular franchise, that might be the biggest thing that was needed, because it doesn't have to be said that you're leaning on Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhardt and Jeff Skinner to be the offensive catalyst for this team. That's a known. So I don't know if it needs to be labeled as such and be felt around the guys in the group and left to like leave anyone else feel that they're of a lesser role on the team. And just I get the sense of what's happening here is that every player realizes their role on the team is as important as Jack's. It's as important as Sam and Jeff's. It's as important as Carter Hutton's. Miller is as important as anyone else on the team. And when you look at the Larson, Gergensen's, and Calipozzo line, and even guys like Sobotka, you know, all of a sudden they get the feeling and they believe it that, hey, even if I'm not scoring goals, what I just did on my last shift is as important as what Jack did in scoring that goal. And I think that's the feeling that's permeating through this team here, that it's, no, you're not lesser than anybody. You're part of this group here, and it's the only way you're going to win in the National Hockey League over the long haul, and it's the only way you're going to take a 10-game stretch and turn it into a 20-game stretch where maybe you've only dropped you know, a lot fewer games than you expected going into the season as a group. So for me, that's it. It's the word role becomes bigger for every single player on the team, because all of a sudden they're seeing success. It could be as simple as how they played a puck out of the zone or up the wall or didn't flip it into the middle of the ice or boxed out. That role was as important as a goal, and I think that's the feeling within the group. I could be wrong, but that's the sense I get.
You're on the road trip, right? You're calling the next couple games?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dan Dunleavy is joining us. He'll be calling the next couple games. So aside from yourself, who is benefiting the most from Ralph Krueger?
Aside from myself, who's benefiting the most? An interesting question. Wow. You know, it's easy to say the group, but are you looking for an individual? Are you trying to draw that out?
No. It could be an individual. Could be the defense unit. Could be the Larson line. Could be the goaltending.
Okay, let me say this. I mean, I'm going to say that when you take a look at the minute still being played by a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, all the talk that's been around him, and for all I know, I don't know, may continue to be around him or any player for the rest of their career. But what Ralph has been able to do with Rasmus, and I don't know if there's situations that he's kind of helped him rethink on the ice or whatever it may be, but there's no doubt that 55 is a presence on this team again. And it's not as if he's running around trying to lay out guys, but when they come to him, he certainly sends a message that I'm not the one who's going down here, and it's not going to be an easy night for you. And that was what we all enjoyed watching from Rasmus Ristolainen's game. And I think if anyone came into camp, and again, I can only assume, based on what we read and based on his comments, that, you know, here might be a guy that you're trying to win back a little bit again because you see something in him and you don't want to lose him. And I certainly can't speak for anybody else in the organization, but I would think that maybe a guy like Ralph, it's easy to see that Jack's really comfortable being the captain with him. But again, I just think Jack is going to be a great player once he grew into the man he is now and going forward in the NHL. And if somebody's confidence needed a boost, or if they needed a pat on the back and let know how important they are to the team, despite what goes on in professional sports around them, it might be 55. And I've certainly liked what I've seen.
It's interesting that you're naming him, too, because you know, Rasmus Ristolainen, for a number of years here, has been the number one power play guy on the team. He played the most minutes, and now he's in a situation where you have a young buck in Rasmus Dahlin that played 5 minutes and 32 seconds on the number one power play, and Rasmus Ristolainen played a minute and 14. And you ask yourself, is he being frustrated by this? Is he saying, why am I now taking a step back after having 4 years of 40-plus point seasons? But I think there's the dialogue. I think there's communication. I do believe that there's a lot of communication going on behind the scenes. And, you know, Rasmus wants to do one thing, and what's that?
That's win.
He wants to win. So I think Ralph Kruger is having conversations with Rasmus to say, listen, you are a good power play guy, but I have a guy that might be a little bit better. I need you in other areas. I need you to save that energy for other areas and help this team win by doing that. And, you know, he's a very interesting player. I think he's played very well up to this point.
Well, and, you know, you brought up the way that Ralph handles it. And I would, again, I'm guessing here, Craig, that I don't even know if he says there's someone better than you, a little bit better than you, and I know you're just phrasing it in your way.
Yeah.
But, you know, in hearing every conversation that we're able to be around with the group, and I'm talking where all the media is around, he doesn't let a negative word creep into it. And I think you're on the right path, and what he's probably said to him is that, look, you, what you do on this hockey team is something that nobody else can do. And to your point, I need to preserve and save those minutes for certain situations that only you can handle. And once you put that into Craig Reveille's head or Andrew Peters' head or Dan Dunleavy's head or whatever, all of a sudden we start sticking our chest out and we're thinking, damn straight, I am the one guy who's best at this part of the game. And sure, I could play the power play or I could chip in here. Heck, I felt that way about my own job, is that, hey, I could do more here and more there. And it's, hey, just kind of, here's your role within the group. Do it really well because that's why you're here. And, you know, it's kind of not of a stay-in-your-lane thing, but it's a more polite way of saying stay-in-your-lane.
Yep.
You know.
Dan Dunleavy joining us. He gets set to hit the road for a few days and call the Sabres-Rangers, Sabres-Detroit to, you know, I don't want to say different teams, but what are you looking at going into New York?
The way this team is playing, I watched a bit of the Rangers when I got home last night, and looking at their lineup, the Rangers at home are always going to be a team that if you start letting them skate and transition and be this quick team and that whole energy in the building, like a lot of buildings in the NHL, but really in MSG, it can take you over. But the Sabres have this real knack, and they've already had it in MSG previous to this year. They've had a knack for being able to handle that, and it's almost as if they enjoy playing on that stage. And that's the other thing that I like about guys like Jack and Sam as they grow into their roles, and Skinner, as, you know, we keep forgetting how young these guys are. The more they go into these buildings and they have a little bit of success, and now they go into MSG and they know they've had success there, it's not daunting to them. They almost want to, they can't wait to get there. And Craig and Andrew, I'm not sure how it was in your career, but you could let a building and an atmosphere take you over, or you can, once you taste that first little bit of victory, you say, look, let's go, boys. Let's get to MSG and put on a show. You know, that's part of the dream of playing in the National Hockey League. And then you go into Detroit, maybe a little bit of a different entity, because it's a team that's always, you know, trying to re-piece and get the right pieces to the puzzle back in for itself as well. So I know you could say that for the Rangers too, but they've always had this identity that they're going to play fast. They're going to hope that their goaltending keeps a minute. They do have some new faces in the lineup. Of course, Panarin there is always a dangerous player, but I think they're both extremely winnable games for the team, but certainly not winnable games where you just show up and stop doing what you've been doing up until now. If they keep working and they keep just, you know, getting the puck in deep and doing all the cliche things that they're actually doing now, I think it could be a really good road trip. Back
those
to back
cliche
to
things win games.
Yeah,
that's
they
why
do.
They're cliches. Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't go back to the well if things aren't working. I mean, that's why those little things inside games are what make teams successful. I didn't know if you were going to chime in there, Riv, or not, but I had another point I wanted to make about the schedule.
No, it's just we're hitting a Rangers team that's lost five games in a row.
Yeah.
And when you lose five games in a row, especially when you've only played, what, nine games this season or eight games this season, is there's a lot of line shuffling. And there's a lot of uncertainty for certain players. And, I mean, if you want to play a team, this is the team that you want to play right now. But you don't want to take them lightly. You want to be very consistent in the way that you play. But right now the Rangers are down, and this is a good time to go in and see what we can do.
Yeah, one of the things, Dan, that I wanted to touch on was, you know, we look at the schedule. We have the luxury of looking down the schedule and looking at games. And one thing I would say that has changed drastically this year, and I don't know if you feel the same or not, but every one of these games on the schedule this year, last season, could have been a loss. And I and every game can be a loss. But my point is that you don't look at the games now and think, oh, they can't win that game, or, you know, these are all winnable games. The way they're playing, I don't want to take a shot at teams, but they're struggling. I mean, these are all games that this team can take advantage of.
Well, they are, if you base it on the standings and what Craig mentioned too, with the way that the teams are playing now.
Right.
And if we have a standings based conversation, who's Buffalo not played, and it's really in their own Atlantic Division. You haven't played Boston, you haven't played Toronto. But the way you're playing, I remember earlier in the season, I mean, we're still early in the season, I turned to somebody and said, can you bring the Leafs into this building right now and let's start this thing? I mean, let's just get at this series and, you know, bring on the Bruins. And, you know, I'd have to think, as this team continues to build confidence, that's how they're feeling, that they're not daunted by anybody. You know, the Colorados of the world, the Edmontons of the world, the Vegases of the world are still going to be really, you know, tough teams that they've not played yet and faced. But the foundation of what they're laying right now, and these two games, as you mentioned, are really important to that. I mean, to beat a Rangers team and beat Detroit, two teams that are not near the top of the standings, and yes, it's early, but you are near the top. So you want to keep that kind of momentum going for when you do face the Bruins, you do face the Capitals, and you do face Toronto, and, you know, specifically teams in the East, that that you've continued to build this confidence that you've got going now, because we saw last year how fragile it is. I think it's different this year. I can only think it's different until it's proven different, and that's up to the guys in the room and the coaching staff, and I think they're on the right path to doing that. But to that point, yeah, the Detroit and Rangers back-to-back, it sounds like it's a busy couple of nights, and that's just the way it is with the schedule right now. But two games that if right now you're these Buffalo Sabres and you believe in who you are, you go win those games.
There's a lot that happens before November 29th, but I feel like those Leaf-Sabre games are going to have a different feel to them this year. You know, and I feel like that's kind of slowly started to happen. You know, in the last, I'd say, couple years, there's been a little more fire in those games. But I think the key element to a good rivalry are good teams. And I feel like you might actually have that this year, two more evenly matched squads.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's the same with the Bruins. I mean, if there's two teams that certainly that anybody in Buffalo wants to see get defeated, is anybody from Boston and down the highway in Toronto. And you set yourself up to certainly have both those teams come in here, or you go in there with them very aware of what you're doing, especially if you keep this going. But, you know, as you say, first step, the Rangers. And, yes, they've shuffled things up. I mean, you look at, I think last night was Jesper Foss, Zibanejad, and Panarin might have been a top line. And then you've got Kreider and Kako on the second line. And they're just kind of moving guys around here a little bit. You look at all the names on the roster here, you're thinking they can beat you. They're not a bad hockey team on any given night. These guys are going to be flying around the ice if you make mistakes. But I think what gives you confidence in this particular group right now is that the mistakes they make, as soon as they make them, they're correcting them right away. It's not like it's a game full of errors. Even the game in Anaheim where they couldn't find their way, not as if it was a game full of errors. To me, at least from calling the game, it was a game where Anaheim just took away areas of the ice and the Sabres kept working but just couldn't figure it out.
Speaking of a game full of errors, your partner during the game there, Razor. Does he know that picture that they use for our promo is old and that we have both significantly dropped a lot of weight? Because he literally, and the thing that people don't understand about Razor is if he doesn't say something nice about you, I think it means he likes you. But he hasn't said anything lately, so we're wondering what's going on.
Oh, so you're looking for a little harsh critique somewhere.
Well,
to be nice.
The harsher the critique, the more love we get.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. It's hey? When you sit up and down look and he does that to me all the time. What are you wearing? You know, it's kind of like him saying, hey, not bad.
Like that's the best thing about it is that it's like the negative is definitely a positive. You know what I mean?
Because you get the little grin afterwards. I mean, Razor gives it to everybody. The beauty about Razor, and everybody knows this, but if you don't, especially when you're traveling with him, he gives it to everybody. I mean, the first second we step on the plane, whoever's next is going to get it. And nobody is off limits. It could be player. If Ralph came back, Razor's going to give you something. So if you ever feel bad that you're being dogged or you're being picked on a little bit, you just have to sit back and watch who's next in the barrel because it's always somebody. And the funny thing is when you give it back to them, especially if you're somebody, say like myself, who didn't play in the same role you two guys did and he's not ready for it, sometimes he'll just sit there and he'll smile back and he'll just say, pretty good. You know, you got to get him back once in a while.
It is great to halt him in his tracks from time to time, eh?
Yeah, well, I think he wants it. He's challenging it a little bit because he enjoys it. So, you know, whatever makes the big man happy, that's what we do.
Yeah. Dan, have fun on the trip. Where do you like to go for dinner in New York?
Anywhere Razor's paying. It doesn't matter to me.
What's the go-to? You like to go sightseeing when you're on trips?
You know what? There's so much in New York. It's tough to pick one. I think you just kind of land there and you start going for a walk and you say, hey, this looks good. Let's pop in here. I mean, I feel like if I went to New York City and went to the same restaurant all the time, I'd kind of be cheating myself. So we don't stay out late either. Razor and I go for dinner. We're back and looking after ourselves by probably 10 o'clock or so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, that's
Dan.
The truth. That's the truth. Right. Yeah, it is. On game nights, especially back-to-back games, that's the truth. But we have nights off where there's a couple of extra days. We'll go out and maybe sightsee a little bit. But
all right. Well, I'm sure you're looking forward to watching Capo Caco tomorrow night.
It's not the story I wanted. I looked for some concerts in New York tonight, but there's not a heck of a lot going on. So, yeah, we'll look for some Caco, see if there's any Caco on the ice.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's not really concert season right now, Dan.
Well, no, I keep missing Billy Joel by a day. He's at MSG, but I keep missing him by a day. I haven't seen him live yet.
They are not going to cover up his banner, are they?
No.
Hey?
No, that's a good goal call at some point. I got to use that one.
Yeah, if the Sabres win tomorrow, you should say at the end, maybe you should try covering up the Billy Joel banner.
Well, that's a bit long, but we'll work on it.
That's why you do your job and I do mine. Thanks, Dan.
Doing well, gentlemen. Thanks for
you too, man. We'll talk to you later. Dan Dunleavy, you'll be able to hear him tomorrow night. And on, Thursday? So Thursday night and Friday night. You got the Rangers tomorrow and Detroit the next night. So tune in. Sabres are 8-1-1. We'll be right back. More Instigators after this. Rivs is, you're making it. You're going to get there. Your baby's stepping to noon. It's going around.
It's a slow clock today.
It's going around. We got to finish our 10 things. 10 Things I Hate About You when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Seneca Studio, this is The Instigators.
All right, back to the conversation we were having at 10:30. 10 things we think we learned from the first 10 games. We got through five of them. Jeremy Roenick tomorrow, 10:30. Elliot Friedman at 11. JR was unable to join us today. He was traveling. He'll be doing the Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay game tonight. So we'll get to chat with him about that. And Tampa Bay, see what he likes to do in Tampa. So we got to get through this because the last segment here, we'll have a little conversation about Rasmus Dahlin and Ralph Kruger's comments about his minutes and where they're at. But we finished off the first things we talked about, the 10 things we think we learned from the first 10 games. Skinner can score without Jack. A consistent defensive structure can win hockey games. The team is confident playing in front of both goaltenders. Every line has the ability to score. The Larson line will continue to help this team win. While not mature yet, the Sabres' young talent has great upside. And that was Riz last when we were kind of rotating, so it stopped at me. And so we did six. And I just said Colin Miller is an awesome addition. And I say that because if you told me 2 years ago, halfway through Vegas' inaugural season, that Colin Miller would be a Buffalo Sabre for a third-round pick, I would have laughed. I had the luxury of seeing him play 2 years ago in November against Toronto live. It was the first time I've ever seen him, and I could not get over his skating ability and his shot. Those speak for itself. Then I saw him later that year in March when Vegas came back. I went to the game, and you got to see him again, and you just love the way he skates and plays and finishes checks and does everything. And you watch him in the playoffs and so on and so on. And that's all I have to say. When a guy like Montour, who you traded did you not trade Brendan Gooley and a first-round pick?
Yep.
For Brandon Montour. And he gets hurt. Think about what would have – I'm not trying to take anything away from Joakim Harju. I'm not trying to take anything away from the depth of this defense unit. But if Montour gets hurt and you don't have Miller – you don't have nearly the stabilizing piece
yep.
to slide into that roster. This move was crucial. This player is crucial, and it wasn't just crucial because it means you can ship out Risto. It's crucial because it means you have another defenseman on your team that is exceptionally good. Am I allowed to use exceptional today? He's exceptionally good. And on top of that, he's played 28 playoff games in the last 2 years. He's been to the finals.
Is it as crucial as picking up Marcus Johansson as our second-line center?
No, he's the center of the Johansson line. A key contributor to this team. Come on, man. You've got to get into the Krugerian mindset.
Both are massive pickups by Jason Bottrell. I mean, both have fit in, and I'm going to tell you, they're not only fitting in and helping in areas, they're just they've really rounded out the hockey team. So,
all right, next one's on you.
My thought was don't change a winning formula, and this is going to be a kind of like an unpopular thought all the way around. But number one, don't change a winning lineup, a winning formula. And what I mean by that, you know, you have Montour, who is without question one of our top defensemen. It's really tough to change the six defensemen that are playing right now because they're playing so well together.
You're
Scandella,
not saying he's not good enough.
I'll tell you right now, Montour is without question one of our top defensemen. All around the board. Puck moving, skating, shot, offense, solid defensively. I mean, his overall game is a huge asset. But I think that you just need to kind of, there's going to be a point in time where we're going to, you know, have a few, you know, bad games. It's natural. It's going to happen. There's going to be a point in time that he will get into this lineup. But I wouldn't change that for the world. And also, I have to give a shout out to going off the board here a little bit. And we're talking about don't change a winning formula. But Chris Taylor, as one of the coaches, you know, Granato went down with a really severe case of pneumonia, and you know, Chris Taylor has come in and obviously looks like he's fit in very well with that coaching staff, and you know, he's just another asset that the Sabres have. Not just talking about players, that we have an abundance of great, great talented players, but we also have an abundance of great hockey minds here. And Chris Taylor, I think, has done a real nice job with his time here in Buffalo so far.
Well, you have to imagine he's had an impact here. I mean, like,
no question.
He's had a piece of this, and I feel bad for Granato. I mean, he's missing out on this. I mean,
I don't, because I think he's a part of it. I think he's
100% a part of it. But I just mean, if a guy's injured, take any player like Montour, Bogosian. Like, they're along for the ride, and their names are associated. But they're, you know, and they'll always be made to feel a good team. Truly, a true good team, if that even is proper English, knows how to make every player feel like, or every person feel like they're a part of it, whether the regardless of the size of their role, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And I have personal experience with that, but we don't need to get into that. But I guess my point is that, like, it's got to be hard for these guys, because this is a different start to a season for this franchise.
Yep.
Okay, and a lot of these players, and I think everybody wants to be a part of it, and everybody wants to, you know. So I feel bad for Granado, because you know you're not there, you're not a part of it. Montour, same thing. Bogosian, same thing.
Yeah, but it's I think it's different from a player perspective to a coaching perspective.
Okay.
I would probably think that Granado would have maybe watching some video at home while he's resting, and you know, going over some games and still having some dialogue and discussions with the coaching staff. So he's still basically doing his part, but it's behind the scenes. But I just wanted to give that shout out for Chris Taylor, who's done a real nice job. I see him a lot on TV. Continuously talking with Ralph Kruger, discussing, going over things, and you know, that's always a good sign when you have some great hockey minds.
I guess, you know, we should call him Don Granado, not just Granado, but Don Granado. Obviously,
Donnie.
Can we
call him Donnie?
At 8-1-1, we can call him Donnie.
Yeah, we can call him Donnie.
1-8-1, we're calling him Coach Granado.
Yep.
Moving on here. I stole this one from Riv. So we have gone through, we're doing 10 things we think we've learned from the first 10 games. You know, because we think we've learned. Jeff Skinner can score without Jack Eichel, certainty. A consistent defensive structure can win hockey games. The team is confident playing in front of both these goaltenders. Every line has the ability to score. Larson line is going to contribute to help this team win. While not mature yet, the Sabres' young talent has a great upside. Colin Miller was an awesome addition. Don't change a winning formula. That's a broad stroke phrase there, but Riv just touched on it. And I stole this one from you because I was the last one to get one in here. And you said it, and you looked at me before the show, and you said, I really like our defense. So I stripped it, and I said, our defense is elite. Care to elaborate on that?
Elite is maybe a stretch, but I'll tell you right now, I feel extremely confident with the abilities of each and every defenseman that's on the ice. I love how Ralph Kruger is changing the defense. I love how he understands that there's certain guys that have better skill sets at certain times in the game. Throughout, whether you're up or down in a game, I think he's done a really nice job of engaging and making sure that each and every one of these guys is engaged in the game. And yes, we do have Erasmus Ristolainen that plays 26 minutes a night, but the other guys are all playing. They're all playing upwards of 17 plus minutes a night. They're all engaged in the game, and they've all done exceptionally well.
We still have one more. Patience and possession is the key to winning in overtime. That was your last one. That's 10.
Well, watching what I saw last night and watching what I saw even in, I think it was Columbus, which we ended up losing because there was a turnover. But, I mean, we have the skill set for the first time in a very, very long time that we own the puck in overtime. We possess the puck. We handle it. We make plays. We're confident. And it's not one or two guys. It's not Jack goes on the ice and then comes off for a shift and then he goes right back on. No, we have a large number of players that Ralph Kruger feels very confident with going out on 3-on-3. And
how many new players did they use last night? Middlestad's not new.
Well, we
new.
Had three defensemen.
Eichel
we had Dahlin, Ristolainen, and Joakim Harju. You had Jack. You had Sam. You had Connor Sheary.
I don't mean
Middlestad,
new. I don't mean new players. I mean players
Johansson.
That weren't here before. So, like, what is the difference? I mean, there are still a lot of the same players here.
Well, I certainly think the mindset is a lot different than what it's ever been. I think the structure in which that these players have been given and they play, they believe in the structure that Ralph Kruger has given them. They feel very confident. They're happy. You know, it was amazing that he was talking about Jack Eichel. And he's like, you know, he's like, Jack Eichel's maturing as a hockey player. But he goes, I don't have any restrictions on Jack offensively. Jack will do. He goes, I can't tell Jack what to do offensively because he's one of the best players in the world. He is going to do it off his instincts. There's no restrictions on Jack on offensively.
And a quote from Ralph Krueger basically going alongside that, he says, we created a system where we let players' genius roll and let their genius execute. We don't want them thinking too much.
They're just playing. They're just going out and playing.
Doesn't sound like there are many robots on this squad.
No, there isn't. Listen, I mean, there's always structure within a system, but you have to allow that genius, as he calls it, that genius to come out in each and every player. That's why they're there. That's why they've made the National Hockey League. They're there because they are the best skill set at what they do. And, you know, he's not hog-tying any of these players. He's allowing these players to flourish and do what they feel is the right thing, and that's just from natural instincts.
Hog tying, is that a farmer's version of handcuff?
Yep.
Is that what it is?
That's exactly
what it
is.
Where'd you learn that one? Farm in North Bay? You a farmer?
Pig farmer.
I
know what that means.
Are you a Western boy?
Am I a Western boy?
The WHL guys, they had all that farm strength.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
Hey, they come from the prairies. They all bale hay. Hey, you ever hear of these guys? You ever see the picture of Bobby Hull?
My nickname was the Toothpick for many years. But.
All right, moving on. So those are our 10 things that we – so the 10 things, I'll recap them again. 10 things we think we've learned through the first 10 games. Skinner can score with Jack – without Jack – consistent defensive structure can win hockey games. The team is confident playing in front of the goaltenders. Every line has the ability to score. The Larson line will continue to help this team win. While not mature yet, the Sabres' young talent has great upside. Colin Miller is an awesome addition. Don't change your winning formula. Our defense is very good, not elite yet. Is that proper?
Yeah, okay, I would say
proper
that.
Proper wording on that. And patience and possession is the key to winning in overtime. I'll tell you what, Casey Mittelstadt definitely exemplified that last night. When we come back, Ralph Krueger talked about Rasmus Dahlin and his minutes. I think a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on how much defensemen play and their minutes. We'll tell you what he had to say and what it means for the defenseman's growth. Right here, we have a defenseman with us, played 923 games. So we'll get his thoughts. Craig Rivé and Ralph Krueger's thoughts on Dahlin coming up.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rivé, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos.
Yes, and we are at the Seneca Studios out here in Orchard Park, and Ralph Krueger on Rasmus Dahlin. People speak way too much about the minutes. The minutes are something that will fall in his favor as he grows as a defenseman in this league. Grows as a defenseman in this league. Last year he played 2109 in ice time. This year he's averaging 1905. Grows as a defenseman. Well, Riv, I would ask, he has 10 points in 10 games. How much more growth can you get?
Defensively, how many minutes is he averaging right now?
1905.
Okay, so if he's a really good defender, also he's playing 25 minutes. Period. He's a great talent. His skill set, I don't think there's a defenseman in the last 25 years that I've seen has the same skill set as Rasmus Dahlin.
In the Sabres organization?
No. Anywhere. I do believe that his skill set is absolutely off the chart. But I'm not saying he's a bad defenseman, because I don't think he's a bad defenseman or struggles immensely at playing defense. He's just not as strong as certain defensemen on our team right now at playing defense. So when there's key minutes at the end of a game or certain times of a game, penalty kill or other minutes, those are where you get the extra minutes. And that's when you're looking at a player that plays 25 a night, that's a Victor Hedman. He plays power play, first line power play. He's the first unit that goes on the ice to kill penalties. He's on at the end of the game. But he wasn't doing that when he was 18, 19, 20, 21 years old.
So how's he get there?
You learn through just continuing to get stronger and a better understanding of the league and the play. And, I mean, it's just going to come with time. I mean, he's got lots of time. He's a young, very, very young defenseman that is learning every day that he goes to the rink. He's getting stronger every day he goes to the rink. And it's just a matter of time before he develops himself into a true,
all around
player.
We'll finish the show today with our buy-sell trade that's presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. So, 2109 last year, 1905 this year. Rasmus Dahlin will finish the season with 20 minutes average time of ice per game. Buy, sell, trade. That would mean you have to make up 55 seconds, which I'm sure
you could do. Yeah, I will buy this. It's a lot of time to make up, but I do believe as this season moves forward, I believe that Rasmus Dahlin continues to get better as a young defenseman. He will continue to gain the respect. Hopefully, he will gain the respect of his coach to play in those key minutes at the end of the game. And I think he's a terrific talent. He has got a lot of upside. He is nowhere near the finished product, and that's the best part about Rasmus Dahlin. He's got 10 points in 10 games. He's not anywhere near his finished product.
Yeah, I'll buy this, but I mean, why does this player have to be on the ice at all those moments? I mean, why couldn't you?
He doesn't have to be.
Doesn't that mean you have a deeper defense unit if you can use other players in those circumstances? Like, for instance, last minute of the game or to close out the game, who was on the ice? Scandella and
Risto.
Yeah, and they're not a pair. They nope. switched up McCabe and Risto and threw Risto with Scandella. And, I just wonder, I mean, if you're deep enough, you know, through your three pairs, why does your superstar defenseman have to be on the ice? I'm not saying that he can't be on the ice. I'm not saying he'll never be on the ice. I expect he will be. I'm just
superstar defenseman offensively.
Sure.
There's two parts to the game, offense and defense. Some guys play defense better than another because they're more programmed to pick out and understand danger playing defense. But listen, I think Rasmus Dahlin is a very young guy. He's a very young player. He's playing a lot. He's playing 19 minutes a game, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less. He has got learning to do. And he's a sponge right now. He's taking it all in, and he is going to get better.
All right, 40 seconds left in the show. Give me one player that you've played with over your years that has elite, elite defenseman skill and very solid defensively.
Andrei Markov.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, but that was probably because of his D-partner.
He came in the league as an offensive guy. He had a skill set that was incredible, but people didn't know how good he was defensively. He was one of the best defensemen in the league.
Who was his D-partner? Surrey?
Nope.
Who else?
Myself and Mike Komisarek for a little while.
We knew that. Trick question. Instigators back tomorrow. Jeremy Roenick at 10:30. Elliot Friedman at 11. Sabres in New York at 7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.